Hello, brainstormers, and thank you for joining the show today. I get to meet a lot of property managers throughout the country, and I have to tell you, one of the more interesting stories that I've ever heard is that of Amy Hansen, the owner at A-Plus Management in the Dallas, Texas area, Plano, Texas, to be exact. Amy has had not one, but two different property management companies at two different periods of her life, and she's got lots of lessons learned that she's going to be sharing with us today. She's also very involved in the NARPM organization, and we'll get to hear from her about why NARPM has been important in her career and why she enjoys being so active in the organization. Have a listen.
Welcome to the Property Management Brainstorm Show with Bob Preston. Bob is the lead consultant and podcast host at Property Management Brainstorm, the consulting and strategic planning company dedicated to the property management industry. This podcast is for property managers and company owners seeking an in-depth look into current trends toward adding doors, growing recurring revenue, and building a high-profit property management business. You'll hear from leading professionals on hot topics, success stories, and strategies for expanding your company and assuring your property portfolios are managed efficiently. Now, here is your host, Bob Preston.
Hey, Amy, welcome to the Property Management Brainstorm.
Hello. It is so good to be here. It's so great to see you, Bob.
I know. It's been a while, and so it's great to see your face, and I've really been looking forward to this conversation. So, as I mentioned in my preamble, I've heard your story. I remember one time sitting in the audience, I think it was in Kansas City at the NARPM National Convention. And you were, I can't remember the topic of the presentation, but I remember your story, and I was mesmerized. It was really, really impressive, and your journey is incredible. So how about you start today? Just introduce yourself, a bit about your current property management company, and perhaps a brief overview of the journey, how you got into property management. We'll get into this in a lot more detail, but maybe just kind of the short story for now.
Well, my name is Amy Hansen, and I am the broker owner of A-Plus Property Management in Plano, Texas. I was born and raised in Texas and actually came to Dallas from San Antonio. I've had my real estate license almost 30 years, which I know seems like forever, but
I think I beat you on that, by the way. I think I've had mine for 40.
It's just amazing. It's amazing how fast it goes. I never thought I'd be doing this long, but long story short, I did a presentation on buying, selling, and starting over because that's kind of, you know, what happened in my life. I didn't plan this. It wasn't my dream. It wasn't on the spreadsheet or the five-year goals. It just kind of all happened. And it's kind of amazing that it all did happen. But short story, I was in college and needed a job. And this is back before the days of the internet. Can you believe we lived without Google at one point in time?
So are you saying you didn't go to college to be a property manager?
Exactly. I don't know that anybody ever goes.
None of us have. Right.
So I got this part-time job at a real estate company doing receptionist work. And one thing led to another. And they said, hey, you know, if you wanted to make some more money, you could help us with the sales and we would pay you bonuses and commissions. So get your license. So back in 1993, I got my license and started working for this company and had a great career in doing sales and went into relocation and went into corporate real estate. And I had done that for quite a while, and I was a little burned out on the corporate world. And so one day I picked up the phone and called the old company and said, hey, I'm looking to make a change. You know, what's going on with you guys? And I kept in touch with them, as many of us do as we travel around the world. And they said, you know what? We are just now converting from a partnership to a corporation so we can sell this company. And I said, well, I would sure like to buy it.
Wow.
And so I went to dinner with them and we shook hands over the table. Now, back then in 2006, which really isn't that long ago, but in 2006, there really was no parameters for selling companies or buying companies. There was no book on it. There was no history on it. Nobody knew what they were doing. So we did the best we could.
Yeah. And I bet you a lot of the documentation was on like sticky notes and pads of paper and, you know, paper file cabinets, right?
Absolutely. I was like, I mean, we wrote out the agreement on a napkin and said, hey, this looks good to me.
Gosh.
Does this look good to you? It sounds fair. Let's do it. And I had known these people for many, many years. And so we had a personal relationship, but they let me buy it on a five-year seller finance that they allowed me to pay out. Now, when I bought it, it was a real estate company that did property management on the side. They never intended to do property management. They never tried to do property management, but San Antonio being a huge home for veterans, lots of people move in, move out, and there's a huge need for property management. So one person asked and then another and another, and the next thing you know, they had a property management department. So I bought it when it had 90 properties. And at that point in time, I literally knew nothing about property management. Zero. Had done sales for years and years, could write a contract and, you know, with my eyes closed, but property management, just collect rent, right?
What was the split of the company? Like how much was the percentage of revenue from selling and you know, being kind of normal real estate stuff, and how much was from property management?
At the time they had 14 agents, about two of them actually sold houses.
Wow.
So very, very few. Most of our, so a little bit of our revenue came from that, but a lot of our revenue came from property management, and property management really, okay, you know, paid all the bills for many, many years.
Well, that's where the recurring revenue is, right?
When I went in there, we were still handwriting statements to owners and writing personal, you know, writing checks to owners. And there was no ACH, no direct deposit. So we would drive after work to all the different banks and make the deposits for the owners into their bank. It was crazy, but it worked. And, you know, it's kind of like when you don't know any better, it works. It's great. It keeps growing. So fast forward, I actually fell into NARPM in 2008 or nine. Someone said, "Hey, you should come to a NARPM meeting." I'm like, "What the heck is NARPM? Never even heard of it." And I went and my eyes were opened, and I drank the Kool-Aid of NARPM, which we can talk about more later. But fast forward, 2016 came along and I had an unsolicited offer that said, "Hey, we want to buy your company." And still in 2016, it wasn't really a big thing. Like, people just didn't do that. You just would work and then you would retire and you would close the company. People didn't buy and sell companies like they do now. I said, "Wow, I never really thought about selling." And I mean, the people I bought it from retired. I just assumed I'd be there till I was 65. Mm-hmm. And lo and behold, here I was 45 years old and thinking, well, this could be fun. Let me do something different. So we made a deal where I did a seller finance on a 3-year note with them, sold the real estate, property management, the whole thing. And that was great for them, great for me. I did have a non-compete. So my non-compete was for San Antonio. And so I hadn't, you know, had some family up in Dallas and thought, well, I'll go to Dallas and work up there. And when I got to Dallas, I applied for some corporate jobs and I thought, I don't know if I could do the corporate thing again. And so I thought, well, I'll just open my own shop, you know, put out my shingles, see how it goes. If I could manage, you know, 40 or 50 doors, that'd be enough to supplement my income and I could do it. And fast forward a couple of years, I was at 50 doors like in 6 months. It was unbelievable. Wow. How fast it grew in Dallas. And none of that would have happened had I not had the experience from San Antonio. Being brand new as a brand new property management company owner, I've had a lot of people say, "How did you do it? How'd you do it?" Well, I knew what worked and what didn't work in San Antonio. So I just took that and duplicated it, took out the stuff that didn't work and really emphasized the stuff that did work. And now we're at 200 doors, and my husband is working on my team, and my son has come on board with my team, and my other son works part-time for my team. So definitely a family affair now. and so now, yeah, we're humming along at 200 doors, and our goal is never to be this big, huge company with 500 or 1,000 or 2,000 doors. That's really not us. We like the small portfolio management style that we have, and but extremely blessed, extremely blessed. I could have never planned this out like it happened, but it all came together better than I could have planned it, I'm sure.
That's an incredible story. So I'm assuming when you started your second company, A+, you had some resources from the sale, right? So it wasn't just kind of jumping in.
Exactly. So I had revenue coming in. When the market collapsed in 2007 and 8, I bought properties. So I had rental properties. So I had some rental property money. I had some money coming from the sale of the company. And then now I had a new company to generate revenue. So lots of different revenue streams.
So you mentioned it's a family affair. You work with your husband, your sons are involved. One of the things I really admire about you, and I've watched because we're friends on Facebook, right, is you seem to have a really healthy work-life balance. And that is extremely hard to do. I mean, I see you guys out at ball games, you're spending time with the grandkids, going to concerts. And of course, you mentioned your involvement in NARPA. Mm-hmm. I mean, how do you do it? What's the secret?
I think really the secret is when you set up your business, you have got to set parameters and guidelines around how you're going to work with your clients and your customers. Of course, we always want to be able to help people if there's an emergency after hours, but our phones turn off at 5 o'clock every day. And that's a hard stop. We are not going to spend till 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 o'clock at night taking phone calls, sending emails, et cetera. So I think making sure that you have that hard stop and you do make sure that you do have a work-life balance. Otherwise, you burn out. Anyone can burn out in this business, whether you're doing sales, property management, some of both, whatever. It's a high burnout business, and I've got to have some of that relief time. But that goes back into, if you want to be able to create that, you have to make sure that your clients and your customers understand that. So we tell our clients right from the beginning, we are here 9 to 5, Monday through Friday. We are going to be here to help you. We're going to lead you through this process. But if you want us to be on the phone with you at 7 o'clock on a Saturday night, we're not the right company for you. And that's okay. We're not the right company for everybody. But we also tell our tenants the same thing when they come on board. We work office hours. And so we ask them to respect those office hours. And of course, we're available, like I said, for emergencies. But I think having that discussion with clients and setting that as a boundary and as a guideline really helps out. And they appreciate that and they expect that. And they respect it, which is even better.
That's fantastic. Because I mean, the personal boundaries are really, really important in this business. They need to know, your customers need to know that, hey, you know, property managers get vacation too. We also get to enjoy the weekend. Because a lot of owners, when they're off, is typically at night or on the weekends, right? So if you don't set those limits or set those barriers, as you mentioned, you're going to have people calling you Sunday, you know, wondering where you are. And in this day of age of responsiveness and social media and instant gratification, you know, they expect an answer quickly and almost immediately. So it's really good you set that expectation up front. Throughout your career, you've been really committed to participating in NARPM. So let's talk about that for a minute. That's, for those who don't know the organization, it's the National Association of Residential Property Managers. So tell us about that and why it's so important to you and in your career.
Well, when I bought the company in San Antonio, the owners were retiring. They were 65 and 67 years old, and they only knew what they knew. So like I said, we were doing statements on paper. We were handwriting statements and making copies and mailing them every month. And they didn't know any other way. When I went to my first NARPM meeting, first of all, I was like, wow, there's other people that do what I do. How cool is this? And coming from the sales world, I was so used to, in the sales world, everybody keeps everything so close to the vest. I can't share any of my secrets with Bob because Bob might take my business. I can't share my struggles with Bob because then Bob will exploit my struggles as a business. Mm-hmm. And when I went into NARPM, I was like so impressed. Not only were people willing to share, but people were willing to stand up and say, you know what? I have a problem with maintenance. Maintenance is our biggest challenge right now, or leasing is our biggest challenge for now. And people would raise their hands and say, I want to help. Let me tell you what we're doing. This is working for us. And I think the knowledge that there's plenty of business out there for all of us, and that our main competition, my competition is not Bob. My competition is the owner that's managing his own rental property. Those are my competition, not Bob. Mm-hmm. And I think when you realize that, you realize that it's more of a collaborative effort, and it's a group that wants to do better. They want to make their businesses better. Of course, we all want to be profitable. I mean, we're not in the business to be, we're not a nonprofit. But knowing all of that and having people that are thinking the same way you are thinking to try to grow and develop and improve your business is amazing. You know, when we started, there was no ACH. There was no direct deposit. Simple things that we take for granted today. There was no internet. We couldn't text tenants or text owners when we started. We had to pick up the phone and give them a call. So the world has changed. And I think NARPM has allowed us to take some technology and take some resources and learn how to better use that technology to ultimately give our customers and our clients a better experience. And so that part, it just blew me away. It absolutely blew me away. And coming into owning a business when I knew nothing about property management, I learned, hey, there's a better way to do this, or there's a better way to do that. One of the things that I truly love the most about NARPM is it still kept it at the local level, because my culture for my clients is going to be different than, you know, a California property management company or a Florida property management company or a New York property management company. And so we can all sit at a table and say, you know what, that's a great idea. That doesn't work for my culture, but I still respect that you do that. Here's what we're doing. Maybe this would help somebody. And so I've gotten just so much out of it over the years. They said, hey, can you volunteer and help us, you know, run a meeting? I'm like, you know, help take tickets at the door and do reservations. And it started out as simple as that. And I said, sure, I'd love to. I'm going to come to the meeting anyway. I can help out. And, you know, then it just kind of grew from there. And they said, hey, you want to be a secretary? Would you like to be a committee chair? Would you like to be president-elect and president of a local chapter association? It was great because I was a little nervous. I'd never been president of anything before. Like, how does this work? But there's so many people there that have that past experience and that, you know, knowledge and input to be able to help you along that realm, which I think is just fantastic. I could call 10 people right now in NARPM and say, I need help with this. And they would drop everything and help me. And you just can't, you can't find that other places. It's cliche to say, hey, we drank the Kool-Aid, but it really is. It's unlike anything I ever experienced in the sales world. And I work for plenty of companies in the sales world.
And look at you now. You've made the jump to the national level. You're on the slate this year as president-elect, which is very, very exciting. Tell us about what that's been like, playing within NARPM at the national level and being a member of the national board.
Well, I think it's been really eye-opening. Using my experience at the local level and then, of course, at the Texas state level, I served as Texas state president. I learned so much about how the state runs and how it runs in conjunction with national. When I took the next step into regional vice president and taking over the central region, I got to see how things worked in other cities, other regions, other states. And it really opened my eyes to a whole nother level of NARPM. And so I found a lot of cool things that have worked in Texas, and maybe they work in Arkansas, and maybe they don't. Maybe they work in Kansas City, and maybe they don't. But I think that being able to try different things throughout the central region really gave me the ability to move into the national level. I've served this year as national treasurer. That's been really eye-opening to be able to see kind of behind the curtain to see how does all the money flow. And I think it's important to know that all of the money that NARPM has is our members' money. And the number one goal at the NARPM national level is to make sure that we are spending that money for the best and highest use for our members. And so keeping that in mind and seeing that the decisions that are made at the board of directors level and at the executive level team, the local members is number one priority across the board. I am running for president-elect. We're having an election coming up soon. I'd love to be selected for that. But, you know, if I'm not selected and that, you know, that happens in a lot of these races, I'm not going to stop volunteering at NARPM. NARPM's in my heart. I kind of bleed NARPM. Yeah. So I told him, even if I don't make it, y'all are going to still have me around here doing work. So, you know, some competition I think is healthy. I think it always makes us push our boundaries a little bit, pushes us a little bit. Mm-hmm. It makes you feel a little uncomfortable, makes you strive to do a little better. So I think competition's a healthy thing. And so we'll see how the race goes. But either way, I'm in NARPM to stay.
Yeah, you guys are doing some great work at the national level, you and the board, you know, this year and previous years too. I got to serve with you for 1 year and then I just had too much going on. So I stepped down, but, you know, power to you. You've stuck with it. You know, it's a lot of fun too, right? It's not just all work.
That's true. That's true.
You make some really good friends and have good times together. And so it's very, very rewarding. Okay, so you've sort of told us about your journey. So let's have some fun here today.
Okay.
All right. And I'm going to call this the lessons learned speed round. It's not really a speed round, but I'm going to fire some questions at you and you get to tell us about what lessons you've learned through your journey of two different property management companies. Okay. Right. So are you up for this?
I'm ready.
Okay. You ready? All right. So here we go about your PM wisdom. You're going to give us all your tips. So number one, what lesson did you learn from your first property management company that you found helpful in starting number two, A+?
I would say the number one thing is that change is hard, and typically people, myself included, are afraid of technology, and technology moves faster than anything we could ever imagine. And being open to technology, I think, really allowed me to set the groundwork for my new company to be successful. And I know that the older you get, the harder it is to take on new technology. And the previous owners of the company that I had in San Antonio were very technology resistant. And that was a big challenge for me. And so I really wanted to make sure that I had the right technology. And there's so much to choose from. Make sure I had the right technology to set the company up for success here in Dallas.
That is a great, great point. I mean, I started my property management business from scratch. And of course, that included pads of paper, sticky notes, kind of the stuff we've talked about. And I remember, I think we hit like 50 properties or something. And I had a small team and I said, hey, this is ridiculous. We can't continue to do it on paper. We got to digitize this. And everybody's like, what? No, you know, blasphemy. We can't do that. That's not going to work. I need the paper. And so it's a huge, huge amount of resistance. And so, you know what? I had to hire a temp because no one else would help me with it. I had to hire a temp to come in and scan all the files. And I said, okay, no more printing paper, no more paper files. It's all in the cloud. Yep. And so that was a huge step for us. All right. That's fantastic. Okay. Number two, what do you wish you knew in San Antonio that you know now? So what do you wish you knew then that you know now, being in your current position and with your current company?
Well, I was trying to decide on just one, but I think there's two things. The first thing was I thought that our competition was larger franchises. There are a lot of big franchise companies in San Antonio. And so I always thought, well, that was our competition. Instead of focusing on the mom and pops are really our competition. So I wish I would have understood that sooner. I could have made better decisions going forward. And living in the cloud in San Antonio, we had a 10 by 10 storage room full of paper. And anytime we needed something, we had to drive to the storage unit and find the pile of paper. And I think it's overwhelming to take that, like you said, you took 50 files and digitized them, but to take a 10 by 10 storage and put all that in the cloud and put it somewhere and know that you can actually retrieve it when you need it, it was scary. It was super scary. And so I wish I knew how easy it was. We went 100% paperless here in Dallas. And gosh, man, it would have made a world of difference back in the day in San Antonio. So I wish I would have been more open myself to technology and more open to trusting that there are different ways to do it that don't include tablet and chisels.
All right, that's good. Number three, fee maximization and ancillary fees have become a big topic lately, right? It's tough to be profitable in this business if your only revenue source are your property management fees. What ancillary fee have you implemented in your current business that you would not have thought of with company number one?
Great question. So company one, number one, we were exclusively management fees. I mean, we had almost zero ancillary fees. And I think you're right. I think in the competition that we have now and the way that the future is going, especially with all of the AI options that are out there for bigger companies, there is a real push to push down the percentage-based management fees. And so as a business owner, if you're not looking at ancillary revenue, you're going to have some problems in the future being able to afford staff and to compete in the marketplace. Admin fees were not a thing when we were in San Antonio. Mm-hmm. Pet fees didn't exist. We had done pet deposits for years and years and years, and nobody had ever heard of a pet fee or a pet rent. And most of the time in San Antonio, you know, we would give all the late fees and all of the NSF fees and everything to the owners, even though we were the ones, you know, doing all the collecting. So we made some pretty significant changes there. And renewal fees. I mean, we would have leasing fees that were pretty typical and a monthly management fee, but renewal fees were unheard of in San Antonio as well. And the renewal process has gotten harder and harder over the years, I have found. There's a lot more work that goes into it than just, hey, renew a lease, poof, you're done. It can be a multi-week, multi-month process, depending on the client's wishes and what they're looking for. So yeah, tons and tons of revenue. We are extra revenue that we have coming in. We're currently at 35% for our ancillary fees versus our management fees. We'd love to get to 40 or 45%. We'll see if we can make that happen. But we definitely want to be prepared and make sure that we're sustainable should there be an intense push down on management fees, which we think is in the future cards.
Yeah, we're starting to hear about that zero management fee businesses, right? And they're making all their money on charging, you know, I mean, some might call it nickel and dime. Yep. Some say it's fee maximization, but charging the customer or the tenant for pretty much everything, right?
Absolutely.
Other than managing the property. Mm-hmm. I mean, the normal stuff. Okay, cool. Number four. What's the best technology you utilize today? You've already thrown out a few. I mean, you have a tech stack, we call it, at A Plus Management. And which one do you use the most and maybe the one you wish you had access to with your first property management company in San Antonio?
Well, when I first started in San Antonio, we were using a dial-up system that only had one user to be able to actually plug in a couple of pieces of information. Could not talk to any tenants, couldn't email owners. It was very, very limited. So we're currently using the AppFolio software, which is a mammoth company. They've done a great job at increasing their base of clients over the years. And while no product is perfect, AppFolio really does a great job for us and is able to allow us to be as technology upfront and friendly as possible. But I would say that Dropbox and making sure that we double back up everything. So we have everything saved in Dropbox and in AppFolio in case something was to happen or crash or, you know, if we decide to change software one day. But I think Dropbox and having everything scanned and we scan and shred everything, being able to have that has allowed us to actually be able to have virtual assistant support. We're not tied to the office here. I could be working on the beach in Destin. My clients would never know the difference. And that's really what I wanted to be able to have that freedom. I didn't realize when I was setting it all up that it was going to be so easy to bring on a virtual assistant. They have everything they need as long as they can get on the internet. So that's just been huge for us. We use RingCentral for our telephone system, so our VAs can answer the calls and transfer calls, and people can text in and text out to one central number. They don't have our actual cell phone numbers. So again, making sure that we have that work-life balance. But that's been huge. And I mean, simple stuff like DocuSign. I mean, we used to fax over leases and have people initial them and fax them back. And now I can send a lease and have it back and signed in, you know, a couple of hours, and it's clean. You can read it. Hadn't been faxed 100 times. So getting it to be paperless, getting everything scanned and loaded into the system where anybody anywhere in the world can check it, has been a huge game changer. And bringing on the VAs, they're like, wow, everything's organized. Everything's in a folder. Everything's labeled. We know where everything is. Everybody follows the exact same process for filing documents. So we can look at any property at any time and know exactly where the documents are. It's huge. It's an absolute game changer. It untied us from having to be at an office behind a desk.
Yeah, I think what you've described, I mean, it's basically going digital, right? Let's go digital, baby. I mean, you know, it's got to go all the way. But what that does is it creates this phenomena that in this industry we call zero touch, right? And it's not that you don't have relationships with your customers, but you don't have to touch everything. Yes. Like you mentioned, print the lease agreement. You don't have to actively go and shake hands and show the tenant the property, because there's ways to get in that are digital now. Would you say that's kind of the direction you've gone at A+?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I was a big, huge fan of checklists. I had a move-in checklist, a move-out checklist, a renewal checklist, a periodic inspection checklist. And so we signed up, we converted last year to Lead Simple into their process flow to be able to make all of our checklists digital. And I was very sad to see my little checklist go away. But now that I look back, I go, why didn't I do this a couple of years ago? Why didn't I just, you know, pull the plug a couple of years ago and do that? But my son, who's a millennial, doesn't admit to it, but he is a millennial, said, Mom, you can't have all these checklists. I'm going to be working over at my house. You're going to be at your house. You may be in Destin. How are we going to know what's on the checklist? How do we process this checklist? And I said, all right, fine. So that was the last piece of paper I finally got rid of. So putting all of our checklists into a process system, and then being able to hand off that process system to a VA was life-changing. Absolutely life-changing for me.
100%. So there was an era, I would say it was probably 4 to 5 years ago, where the buzzword was kind of, well, you got to have systems, right? Systems manuals. And we had systems manuals for every position in the company.
Yeah.
But you know what? They were PDF files that lived on a file server in the cloud. Who has access to that if you're out in the field in the middle of, you know, trying to do something in the property when, you know, what you really want to be able to do is, like you mentioned, in Lead Simple or whatever your process flow is, do it digitally.
Absolutely.
Right? So you have access to it all the time. And by the way, it's real time. If you decide as a team you want to change part of that process, you can just do it digitally. All right. Hey, that was really super fun. So what other thoughts would you like to share, I guess, as we wrap up today? You know, we're having a great time. This is really good to chat, but in the interest of time, we do need to wrap up. So what are your parting words?
I would say that if you're in property management, number one, join NARPM. Get involved with your local association. I know some states don't require people to be licensed. In our state, we do require them to be licensed. So I go to a lot of training and a lot of seminars, either at the state association, my local association, or even at the National Association of Realtors, because this world is constantly changing. We just got word yesterday that the EPA is changing the rules on lead-based paint again. It's a constantly changing world, and there's no one source that you can pull a book off the shelf and it's everything you ever needed to know about property management in one book. It doesn't exist. So it's constant education and training and networking. And I love the fact that I have a NARPM family. And if I have questions, or if I'm struggling with something, or if I'm just looking at some new software, I can call 10 people and go, I'm looking at the software. I know you use it. Tell me the good, the bad, the ugly. And they'll be honest with me and tell me. And I would do the same for them if they were looking at things and needed help from me. So I'm always available to help and to reach out. I did a podcast years and years ago, right after I sold my company. And I've probably gotten, I don't know, hundreds of calls off of that over the years. And I'd be glad to help anybody that's thinking about buying or selling or starting over, or have questions about NARPM or property management, or if you're just stuck and can't figure out how to get your business going, I'd be glad to give you all the secrets and tell you how we did it and share the wealth, because the wealth has certainly been shared with me.
Terrific. Yeah. So good segue. I mean, if people wanted to get in touch with you, what would be the best way to do that?
Yeah, they can call our mainline direct. We are on aplusrocks.com. My email is on there. Our phone number is on there. They can reach out basically 24/7. We try to get back to everybody within 24 business hours. But yeah, would love to answer any questions or help out. And although I'm always nervous doing these podcasts, I always love them when we do them. So I appreciate you asking me to be your guest today.
Oh, thank you so much. It's been wonderful catching up. Yeah, A+ rocks. You rock, Amy. And I've really enjoyed our friendship and working with you during the NARPM period of time. And yeah, always terrific to connect. So hopefully we'll see you soon. Thanks for coming on the show today.
Fantastic. Thanks, Bob.
As we wrap up today, I'd like to make a quick plug to our listeners to click on the subscribe button, give us a like, and if you would, please pay it forward with a positive review. Thank you for tuning in to Property Management Brainstorm, where we are always working hard to find new ways to advance the property management industry, and we will catch you next time.